We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on The Score.
McCarthy responds to a report that says he used to skip team meetings for messages. He says, I wouldn't even know where to begin to start talking about that thing, McCarthy says. But to say I skipped a team meeting for a message is utterly absurd.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
It's even better than I imagined.
Oh, God, is that good.
It's even better than I could have possibly imagined. They're like,
guys, I'll be back in 50 minutes. I have an appointment with a messagist.
Leave your message after the tone.
To be fair, he eventually does correct himself.
Don't let facts get in the way of a good joke.
Oh, goodness.
That's about 45 seconds later.
Perfect. That's perfect. That's our guy, Les Grobstein.
Leaving team meetings to get personal messages. Well, I guess if, you know,
it's an important
kids
message.
Are bugging you at work or something, or your buddies are calling wanting to know when you're going.
McCarthy responds to a report that says he used to skip team meetings for messages.
That's why I went and got a massage this morning. I was wanting to skip a team meeting.
Yeah.
So I went and got a message, but actually a massage. And I screwed it up by going grocery shopping immediately afterward. Don't ever do that.
Why did that screw it up?
Because I stress in a certain grocery store near my house. It's just too convenient to never go there. Some of the employees aren't real competent. Some of them aren't real friendly, and some of the customers have checkbooks, and some of the customers get three different receipts for a few items. You know, okay, I write a check for most of the groceries, and here's the pop that my son wanted, and they put a partition out there, and then put a few other things that somebody else wanted and is paying for on their own. And it's like, you got to be kidding me. That screws up a massage.
But don't you
or a message.
You've got real big hardships and things and real world stuff in your life. So the checkbook at the grocery store is the thing that spirals.
Dude, I'm the same way. I'm with you, Mac.
It's
like
just,
the grocery store just makes me uneasy.
It does.
Like, it's you get there and
you want to get out of there as soon as you can.
I've been doing a thing where I go to the grocery store like later on a Sunday. And now football season, that's not going to work on, but like I've been enjoying going to the grocery store and like knocking that out at 6 o'clock on a Sunday night when there's no one in there. Because if I go at any other time, all I want to do is shove everyone out of the way.
The worst is when you're there and there's like 10 people in line to check out and you got two things. So you have to wait there for 15 minutes to check out with your two items. While everyone else is just buying the whole store, apparently.
That's what the express lane is for, if they have one
even
open.
In the express lane.
Yeah.
It's like the Jewel that is near my place. There will be just enough aisles open to make sure that you are going to wait 10 minutes in order to get your damn food.
You got to go to the. Do you have a personal checkout where you can check out your own stuff?
They do. They do now have the self-checkout, which is just unbelievably awesome.
Many of them require an attendant to come over to program the dance. You still have to wait for at the Meijer near my house.
Yeah, if you're getting booze, they have to come over and check your ID.
Right.
Yep. So that's a hassle. But
you got to weigh your produce too. I mean, it's a pain in the ass.
It's still better than waiting in line behind someone that is just apparently stocking their whole cupboard.
I look at it like a race. If there's a big line, I'm like, okay, here we go. Let's test my own skill. I just get competitive with it. I know that'll surprise all of you guys, but I go to the self-checkout and I check the person who was in front of me at the line. I'm like, okay, can I beat this person out of the store? And it's right. I'll wave the person over like, I got booze. Let's go. Let's get this one done first. Bop. And I try to go.
Well, and there's always the person, too, at the grocery store. At this particular one, Bernsey has a store that he contends is haunted, and this store is as close as I can get to it. They have the displays out on the corners of aisles, and sometimes they're ill-placed, where both aisles adjacent to each other have displays out, blocking more space, and it's single passage with a cart, and somebody wants to park right in the middle of the damn thing and then walk down the aisle, and you've got a traffic jam.
Well, do you also...
These are first world problems, I recognize, but they happen to be my problems after a message.
After a message. It could happen to anybody. To me, the key is to have a good scouting report. You got to know who's the best checkout person, who's the best grocery bagger, and you got to scout. Okay, so maybe this line's a little long.
I have those. I have star cashiers in mind, but they're not always there. You can't always count on them.
That's absolutely true, but there's one at the Mariano's that I go to where there's a bagger who's a fantastically nice person,
yep,
but a conversationalist.
And you're not up for chopping it up when you're getting your cookies.
It's one item at a time because he's explaining.
He pauses. He can't multitask.
He's on multitasking.
Can't tell you about the Cubs bullpen while he's putting your potato chips in a sack.
Come on, man.
Yeah, that's bothersome.
Chop, chop. I don't like chop, chop movies.
Right.
Let's go.
A coworker comes over and strikes up a conversation with the bagger, and he stops what he's doing. The baggers at my they hire. One thing I love about Jewel is they do a great job giving challenged people employment. They've always been at the forefront of that. And those at my store who have some challenges are much better at their jobs as local college kids who couldn't give a damn about bagging your groceries with any degree of urgency.
The care factor is big.
Yeah.
You got to take pride in the job to make it go quick.
I actually got to agree with you on that, Mac. There was one day I went to the Jewel and the bagger I had a legitimate conversation with while the person was ringing my stuff up. It was the best part of my day. It was some random Saturday. I'm at the store and it just lit my whole day up. I was like, damn, that guy was awesome. I had a Sox hat on. We were talking about the Sox. It was great.
That's good stuff. Yeah, I like to mingle. I will talk with people, but I would prefer they work while they speak.
That's my only requirement. I'm like the conveyor belt.
Chop, chop.
The conveyor belt is backing up my food items.
Right. This is what I haven't seen before. Today, the cashier today, I bought a bag of chips because it's the weekend. Van's coming
because
over
you only
tomorrow.
Eat chips on the weekend.
We're having sandwiches. We're going to mess with the boat and fishing stuff tomorrow afternoon after golf. So we got some really good lunch meats that he likes, and I bought a couple bags of potato chips, and the guy takes the last bag of chips, the cashier, and tosses them like 4 feet, and they smack on this hard, belt, and I'm like, dude, that's how potato chips get all broken up.
Yeah.
Just tosses the bag.
You got flakes now.
They got potato
you don't have
flakes.
Chips. Potato flakes.
What happened to my J's? Put them in the French onion dip, just like his little bitty chips, and get a spoon and eat them that way. I've done that before.
That actually sounds delicious.
Yeah, at the end of the bag.
Yeah, the bottom of the bag.
Oh, yeah, those shoestring potatoes, end of the bag. Yeah, just dump them in some French onion dip.
You go spoon? I just like to do the right into my mouth, like a funnel. Like a beer bong
perfect.
Of chips.
Yes, that's perfect. That's good, yes.
It becomes a liquid.
Yeah, that's having skill right there. That's a veteran move.
Well, I mean, come on.
Conversation the other day about just eating fudge out of the jar inspired me to buy another jar of hot fudge topping that's not going to be topped. The only thing it's going to top is a spoon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right from the jar.
The one thing I need.
Yeah, breaking that new bong over the weekend and hit the fudge jar.
Eating peanut butter straight from the jar. I do that a lot.
Anything from the jar to me just saves me a dish. So I'll applesauce, peanut butter, pretty much anything.
Buddy of mine in college had a spoon that he would leave in his peanut butter jar because that's the only way he ate it.
The peanut butter spoon.
Yeah, it was just there. So he takes the lid off, the spoon's there, he just starts going to town.
Yeah, my wife will be like, do you want to pour yourself a glass of orange juice? It's a 64-ounce thing. Like, you want to drink straight from it? I'm like, I don't want to wash the cup.
Yeah, that's right. If you can avoid it, avoid it.
Yeah, avoid it. Yeah, I'll be
I'm
fine.
All for that.
You're not drinking
ice cream
juice.
Out of the carton's fine. You can put it back. Right, you're going to kiss each other. You might as well eat out of the same containers.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me in the least. But Mike McCarthy and his messages is why you call.
Mike McCarthy took time out from meetings to get messages, according to Les Grobstein. Massages.
Yeah.
Next time you get a message or a massage, don't go to the grocery store. It'll step on your relaxation. So I watch Good Morning Football almost every day. I was particularly interested today. I don't all in the offseason all the time, but I was curious if their antenna were up on the Bleacher Report story we talked about yesterday regarding Rodgers' relationship with McCarthy. And indeed, it was the lead block on Good Morning Football, and they spent the first 20 minutes dissecting the story, and it included a couple of sound bites from former Packers receiver James Jones. This is Jones here describing what happened when he read the story and interaction that followed with former teammates about the story.
To me, it's just a bunch of people's opinions. And that's not the same opinion that I have about Aaron Rodgers. And the crazy thing about it is I'm getting a bunch of texts from my former teammates, and they're like, where was I at when all this stuff was going on? Because I don't remember any of this stuff going on. And it's crazy that former players that played with Aaron, when they were in the locker room, could have addressed this with Aaron, but did not address it with him, if that's what was going on.
Okay. I mean, first of all, this hour on the score brought to you by Honda CRV. Search ContinentalHonda.com for the Continental Difference. The weird thing about that is those guys were on the record in the story. And so they put their names on it, right? Ryan Grant put his name on it.
Yes, they did. To their credit, they didn't hide behind anonymity.
There was one anonymous source who was high-ranking who spoke on both sides of it. But for the most part, that was an on-the-record story.
Well, yes. Jones is suggesting a lot of the stuff that's alleged about Rodgers was fiction. And the stuff that was negative. And I assume that his comment was just, you know, broad sweeping on some of the stuff about meetings, too, because I don't remember any of this happening,
right,
is exactly what he said. And I agree with that. If you had an issue with him, Ryan Grant, whoever, you tell him at the time. And what purpose does it serve to do it 6-7 years after the fact, 10 years later?
It serves no purpose other than telling a good story. Right? I mean,
you got a story.
But how many times do we see that? We see guys write books, tell-alls, right? You don't say it at the time, and then you say it after the fact when you're removed from the situation, you're not in the locker room anymore. It's easier. You could say it's cowardly if you want, although it's just sports. I mean, I'm glad that they talked to Ty Dunn. I thought that it made for really interesting reading.
Yeah, it did.
It was illuminating. I had a hard time reading a story that's that well-reported with that many people on the record on both sides. Like, that wasn't a hit piece on McCarthy.
No, they both took shots. Neither one of them came across looking particularly good.
Which makes me think that it's true, right? Most of the time when there's a divorce, both parties are responsible.
People pick sides, too. I mean, battle lines are drawn. And there's one more bite from James Jones I want you to hear. This is germane to your favorite former NFL head coach, the man who says he's a very successful head coach, at least when he was a head coach.
Just ask him.
And that is the cherubic-faced Mike McCarthy.
Coach Mike would have us out there running a bunch of new plays. We're thinking we're going to run these plays in the game, and then we get in the game and we don't run any of these plays. And I think that's where the frustration comes with Aaron Rodgers. Like, we're running the same stuff, but we put in 20 new plays that we're not running. And that's when the frustration comes, and that's when you kind of get some of the tension between these guys, because it's like, man, those plays we put in, we know they're going to work, but we didn't run any of them.
Best to run the ones you know that are going to work.
Yeah, and that was the
Criticism that's certainly – it's one guy's opinion, and in the other soundbite we played from James Jones, he said everybody has opinions.
Right, and he's using a specific example, but that was also – that was reported at the time. People were talking about, you know, the football outsiders of the world, the Bill Barnwells of the world. They were saying Packers don't run in motion that much. They don't diversify their targets that much. It's the same type of offense that they had been running. The Packers did not adjust as offenses adjusted. Think about what the NFL offense looked like when Mike McCarthy got there, right? Rodgers winning a Super Bowl in 2010, MVP in 11, to what it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL's changed completely. Drop back throw, three steps throw, one step throw, spreads, options, all that sort of gimmicky stuff that we now say is gimmicks. It's how it works, what the Eagles do, what the Bears do, what the Rams do, what the Chiefs do, what Tom Brady and the Patriots do. That's never what the Packers and Aaron Rodgers did. No one ever pointed to them and said, that's an innovative offense that's ahead of the curve.
I won't argue that. It's going to be fascinating to see his relationship with his new head coach, LaFleur, develop. That's something everybody's eyes are going to be on early, because he's described as indifferent. Was that what you walked away? His reaction to the LaFleur hire was underwhelmed.
Yeah, not inspired for sure. He
kind of a Cutler eye roll. Smoking Cutler appeared in the form of Aaron Rodgers.
It felt like he thought that he had deserved to be consulted on a final decision. and he wasn't. And Rodgers needs to buy in because even the great ones need to be coached and pushed. And he doesn't have that long left in his prime. Right? He's 35 years old, or he will be this season.
Mm-hmm.
So while you can play an effective quarterback into your early 40s, we've now seen that by lesser athletes than him. He doesn't just stand in the pocket, take the snap, and throw. He moves around.
Yes.
He likes to throw it deep. And so Will he adjust? Will he adapt to a modern offense? I have no idea, but he needs to.
Yeah, it's going to be one hell of a year, but we got a baseball season in front of us before we get to football. But it's been a great departure. It's good to see, you know, the Packers' last decade of disharmony is a nice departure from some of the things that have kept you up late at night. Oh, no, the Mariners have tied the Sockos.
Another two-run homer.
Over on the south side. Was it another two-run dong?
Yeah, Ronaldo Lopez.
Oh, boy, Ricky's going to get him. All right, son, give me that thing.
Yes.
Go ahead, nice job.
Six runs. In five plus doesn't doesn't record an out in the sixth inning. Balls
Sweet
flying.
Merciful crap.
Should we call Shane again and see if White Sox fans still deserve this? As he was ready to declare an hour ago on these airwaves.
Feel free. I saw him at the Goose Island out there, whatever it is. So he's had three or four by now. Let's put him on.
They got no outs in the sixth, and we're sitting at 18 minutes after they're 2 hours into this. Both of these teams this year. The way
overs, man.
They're going to score runs, and they're going to give up a ton of runs. Mac, bet overs and pack a lunch.
I forget who it was that put it so wisely, something that no one else had ever heard. Oh, it was me. But more base runners lead the longer games.
It's deep.
That was when I was driving back from Lake Forest after one of many throat issues last year, vocal cord issues. I heard Shep say that. Give me a pen. Let me write that down. I don't want to forget that one.
Well, you guys should have heard Bernsey today, both on the air and then with Cody about what he was writing and then in his leftovers video for their website and then just walking around. He's like, I told you.
He's so happy.
The ball was juiced.
He's so proud of himself.
He was giddy over that, wasn't he?
Like, I told you the ball is juiced. The data is in. Like, okay. A lot of home runs the first week of the season. The ball is juiced. We should bet overs.
I'm all for betting. We were discussing yesterday going to a different site, and we left it unresolved. If we're going to jump in, let's make a move.
Well, so I was talking to our resident gambling expert, Joe Ostrowski, before the show today because he also has an Auburn future.
Right.
And because he does it right, frankly, and line shops, and so he's got, you know, he's got a Five Dimes account, he's got a Sportsbook.com account, he's got a Bovada account. So we made our bet before the tournament on Auburn at 33-1. He made his bet on Auburn before the tournament at Five Dimes, 60-1.
And you got it at 90.
Yeah, and again, my thing is more of it's trading. It's a little different.
Okay.
It's a little different.
Right.
But
so yeah, Five Dimes then.
We gotta get
plus I love the name of it.
We gotta get
that just sounds dirty, doesn't it?
Five stacks of high society.
Exactly. It's so street.
Yeah, but Joe, if Auburn wins and he doesn't hedge, he stands to make astronomical
good
amount of money.
Good for him.
Yeah, a real, real amount of money.
Money's good.
It sure is. It helps.
Stand in line and buy groceries eventually.
Or have someone else do it. You could have your groceries delivered if you make as much money as he has.
And you could order whatever you want. If you want bananas, you can order bananas.
You could order for you. You could order for your significant other.
The world is out there to be served. Just punch a few keystrokes.
Do you trust someone to pick out your produce? I don't.
Yeah, because I eat so little of it. Yeah, I do. I'm a big orange guy. And I mean I like the big oranges.
Not the cuties.
I like the big ass
you
oranges.
You and Ditka both. Big orange guys.
Orange.
Right, I'm kind of orange-hued in the summer, so it's appropriate that I eat
one
oranges.
Of my friends told me the other day that he read that the act of peeling and eating an orange is supposed to be relaxing in some way. I don't know. It's supposed to, like...
You read that?
I don't know where he got this from.
Dynamite
because
dropping,
we were talking
Stubbs
about,
eat.
Like, stress relief or something like that. He's like, yeah, the act of peeling an orange.
Peeling an orange.
I enjoy peeling an orange. I have to confess, I do discard the peels out the window if I'm having a mobile orange. They're biodegradable. It's not like garbage.
Yeah, that's not littering.
No, I don't think so. It's an orange peel.
I think it's still littering, but I think it goes away eventually.
Yes, yeah. It's biodegradable.
It's still littering.
Can you litter
if you throw something out your window, even if it's biodegradable?
Oh, is that true?
I mean, think it's true, yes. I'm pretty sure Jeff's got us on that.
Really?
Throw an orange peel out your window or a banana peel or whatever, and it lands in my yard. Yeah, I'm still going to be pissed.
But it's not trash.
Discarding
it's biodegradable. Yeah. I guess it'll sit there for a couple weeks.
By definition, I'm pretty sure it's littering. Yeah.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. This is what it was. It was about peeling and eating an orange in the shower. It was about peeling and eating an orange in the shower every morning. It's supposed to be like a good way to wake up.
Is that a euphemism for something else in the shower?
No, it's not. Take an orange in the shower.
Take an orange. Take an actual, like, the orange, the fruit, and peel it and eat it in the shower. It's supposed to, like, help wake you up.
Well, why would
Randy
you
said
do
an
that?
Orange the fruit.
I have no
as
idea.
Opposed
I
to
just
an
Googled
orange
it.
The basketball
thing.
Team.
It's a thing. It's on Men's Health, man. It's an
oh, it's on
thing.
Men's Health.
Yeah, no That's wonder why Parkins
is I've never seen it. That would never come across my
The
timeline.
Internet has backed me up here.
Okay. Shower beer or shower orange? Which do you prefer?
This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Well, because we got into this topic because I was talking about how I had coffee in the shower that morning and how great that was. And he said, oh, apparently an orange is supposed to be great too. I don't know.
An orange in the shower, wouldn't that ruin the orange?
I don't know. I haven't tried it
a
yet.
A soggy orange?
It's real what, good with part two and one sprinkled, you know, marinated on it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm learning something every day, although I think whatever we just said is factually inaccurate. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score. Got another pitching change at White Sox opening day. Jace Fry gave up a two-run shot. White Sox now trail the Mariners 8-6 in the sixth inning, and it looks like Adam Engel's okay after jumping into the wall.
Yeah, Engel's going to stay in the ballgame. It was a heck of an effort. He mistimed his leap just a little bit, and the wall is going to win that battle against the clavicle more often than not, but it didn't look like he did any real damage. He was pretty shaken up at first, but he
stayed.
Hell
of an effort.
Yeah, it was a good effort.
Full extension, but the walls are undefeated.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's
they're going to win.
Sometimes it can be a draw, right? Sometimes you catch it, sometimes you bounce right back up, but you never beat the wall.
No, you don't. You got to find the wall.
That's the
keep from running into it is find it. It's ball, wall, ball.
I think
he skipped the wall part potentially.
He just went right through.
He just crashed into it.
Yeah. Got to find it first before you look back up. Is there Jimmy Pearsall philosophy?
Is there a better wall highlight than Jose Canseco having the ball go off his head and over the wall?
Wasn't there the minor leaguer that literally ran through the wall?
Yes.
Like that's the only thing I got for you.
Yeah, but we don't know who that was. We just know that one guy ever ran through a wall.
Canseco is probably as good as it gets.
I just love that highlight so much because everything about him is like his oversized head. The ball hits off his dome and goes out.
I would have to say, while maybe not the greatest or most iconic, but my personal favorite wall plays would be Dwayne Wise preserving Mark Burley's perfect game in 0-9.
That's on the short list of best catch of
that
my lifetime.
Was some wallsmanship, if you will.
Oh, sure. He knew exactly where the wall was in relation to the ball.
Got the batter who hit it?
I don't.
Gabe Kapler.
Ooh, nice pull.
Yeah. I was there.
Really?
Seven rows behind the plate in Danny Simon's scout seats.
Whew, look at you.
Nice to have interns who are connected.
Oh, wow.
Did you ever meet Danny?
I don't think so.
He was a career Mac Yurko and Harry intern. He was like did an 18-month internship after bombing out of Iowa. He was a kid from Means who just couldn't stay away from the MJH saloon. He had scouts, so he pulled Spiegel and me, and we'd hit the parking lot before we hit the Pharaoh's tent to get a feed on in the scout. Oh, man, all the amenities that has. So we're in the parking lot.
Yeah, I understand what you're doing.
And then Burley throws a perfect game. It was lovely.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, Dwayne Wise. That's getting it done at the wall. Remember Kenny Lofton being in person as a fan over at the Cell when he was an Indian doing some outstanding wall work?
Listen, I mean, there was a lot of Jim Edmonds was always coming in on the ball. It seems like he was never going out to the wall. But yeah, great plays in center. Ken Griffey Jr. had some, but I'll go with Canseco for
yeah, that's good wall
funniest wall play. And Dwayne Wise probably just, I mean, that was so cool, preserving a perfect game. That's an awesome thing to be able to say that you saw, right? Because it's not just the perfect game, it's seeing one of the best catches ever. That's awesome.
Yeah, let me tell you, after how many 500 baseball games,
that's really cool.
Whatever, 1,000 maybe before you finally are in the yard for one of those things. And I had tickets to his no-hitter against the Rangers a couple years prior. But I was expecting it to be unseasonably cool that May night, so I didn't go.
And you stayed all 9 for the perfect game, I assume? The perfect game kept you there beyond 7?
Yeah, I went down and went to a post-game. I had my credential in my pocket, so yes. I was able to get down there and pump the fist of good old number 56, the pride and joy of St. Charles Mo.
That's a good one. Bo Jackson running up the wall. We're getting 100 texts on that one.
Yeah, lots of people loving on Bo.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's amazing he can get up the wall with everything that potentially could weigh him down.
That's exactly right.
Or do you have extra help to get him up there?
A third leg?
Yeah, exactly.
For traction, climbing the wall?
A tripod.
Okay. It's like
on.
A spring, like Tigger. Yes. He's got Tigger penis.
That was the secret to his success. It wasn't the unusual size-speed combination. It was that he was Tigger.
It's like an extra 50 horsepower.
That's a condition I want to get diagnosed with when next time I go to the doctor. Doctor, something just not right. What do you have? I've got Tigger penis.
I don't think you're in any danger of having the Bo Jackson
so
condition,
either.
Jeff.
Yeah, he'd know by now.
I would hope so.
Somebody may have mentioned it to him along the way.
Just out of nowhere, he's like, oh my God, I'm Bo Jackson. The Cubs home opener is Monday, by the way, and the Score is broadcasting live all morning from the Country Club in Wrigley. Mully and Haw lead off from 5 a.m. to 9, followed by Bernstein and McKnight, Lawrence Holmes, and Zach Zaidman on Cubs pregame until 1:20. The home opener broadcast is sponsored by White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure, bottom of the hour, brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the Big Ten West champion Northwestern Wildcats host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. I want to ask Spiegel this at 4 o'clock. But Joe Maddon basically just says they've got to just, think less, do less. We were talking about Kunu yesterday from forgetting Sarah Marshall,
right,
the
yeah,
surfing lessons.
Yeah, get rid of that expression of sadness. Smoke weed every day.
What is Carl Edwards supposed to do? What are you supposed to do with Carl Edwards right now? You need him to be good. He's one of your only swing and miss guys in the pen in terms of high-end stuff. He apparently wasted his spring training trying out a new windup. He's doing quick pitches, and he's clearly overthinking.
Yeah.
What's the solution here?
Well, you need to simplify, I would think. You need to get with your pitching coach and come up with a plan and try to keep it simple and stupid. I would. That's my guess.
Okay.
Would be a major league manager's response to that.
They've got a lot of guys that seem to have
some... Lots going on in his head.
Yeah, but they got a lot of guys like that.
Well,
Hap,
him and Darvish. Yeah, Hap's not a part of it now. Though,
Contreras.
So.
Jed blamed it on that for at least partially, right?
Yeah.
We know Al Mora, he says how much he hates making the last out of a game. He made the last out of the game last night.
Tortured artist.
So there's a lot of them that right now, Lester called it as pressing, and we know that these guys have it between the ears.
Yeah, well, probably a little bit early in Al Mora's career to be arriving at a point where you feel like you've got things figured out. Guys who beat themselves up a lot early in their careers, I've seen guys work their way through that, and already great players. Paul Konerko was a great player when the Sox won the AL Central in 0-0, but he became a much more relaxed, content-to-be-human player several years later, and I'm firmly convinced that's what opened up the door for him to play as loosey-goosey as he did and put his signature on meaningful playoff games in 0-5 early and often.
It's funny because they all are students of the game and they all love baseball. So they're able to recite the cliche of baseball's a game of failure. They know that. But then if you talk, like we have, to Albert Almora about his baseball upbringing, him and Manny Machado were on youth teams and he was hitting 600. These guys, it's like basketball players. Like, why can't the number one prospect in the country, why can't he shoot? Well, because he's a better athlete than everybody. So he just drove past everyone and dunked. He didn't really need to work on his outside shot. So many of these first-round picks shoot through the minor leagues. they never really experience failure in baseball
yeah.
until they get to the big leagues. That's
right, to this degree, right.
And then some guys, even when they get to the big leagues, because there's not a scouting report on them, they're successful early. So the first time they have failure is after they've had some success in the big leagues. It's a weird thing because some of these guys are just so much better than the levels at which they played.
Edwards has to pitch his way through this. You don't really have options.
I mean,
you got the guys who are maybe. Here now and the guys who are potentially here down the road. Some of them are off to difficult starts too, including Dylan Maples. He's having trouble finding the strike zone. He'd fit right in.
He would fit right in. I don't think Dylan Maples is the answer. I don't think anyone in the minors is the answer yet, but you can't pitch Carl Edwards in a big spot right now.
Well, tug on Papa Ricketts' coattails and tell him to open up the purse strings a little bit. Loosen him up.
It's not happening.
Spend some money.
It's just not happening.
Well, then
that's a conversation that we can have, but it goes nowhere, Mac. It's not happening.
At some point, maybe they have to try to appeal to the boss and say, look, we don't have as good of a roster as we thought we did, but we still think we can be a viable playoff team if we fix this element of our club.
But wouldn't you have done that before spring training so that you could get Craig Kimbrel there in the spring?
Maybe it was done, but
maybe.
I don't know.
I'm just saying, if you were going to open up the purse strings, you would have done it when it was time to sign these guys, bring them into camp. So that
you've got some evidence of five games of evidence that your bullpen is really bad. And if you want to keep getting some more, I have a feeling they might be able to accommodate you.
I think they will. And then it could get out of hand quick and it could get real uncomfortable and real ugly real quick. That to me is not the solution. It might have been the solution in the offseason, but I'll be floored if on May 1st they're like, you know what?
Yeah.
Here we go. We'll sign someone to a $15 million contract for this year. I'll be shocked. I'll root for it, but it feels like a hope and a prayer. Yeah. It feels like a conversational road to nowhere.
At least you have Q going.
Yes. He's got a 1.62 ERA and 11 starts against the Brewers, something like that?
Unbeatable against Milwaukee.
All right.
Yeah, 2-6 after tonight, Parkins. It's ordained.
I can't see how anything else could happen. Coming up next, I don't know if you heard it, my favorite moment from Bernstein and McKnight. And maybe my favorite moment of Bernstein and McKnight since we've gone to 9 to noon.
Oh, wow.
With that show. Yeah, this was a great moment. We will bring it back for you coming up on The Score.
What? You look like you've got a thing.
Yeah, the BBC is reporting that Chuck Berry has passed away at the age of 90.
Wow. A lot of music news today, then.
Yeah. On the 25th anniversary of the death of Kurt Cobain, Chuck Berry has died.
Oh. Well,
there's some interesting stories to be told about Chuck Berry, a seminal rock and roll performer. While Yuppie is throwing his nightcap and throwing his pillow, I'm going to throw Jay Zawoski under the bus for a moment here.
Wonderful.
Yeah, even though it's our responsibility to know this, but when he types in the screen that the BBC is reporting that Chuck Berry has died, that's great. The problem is he died 2 years ago.
It's still the story is still correct.
He's
still
right.
Reporting. He's still dead.
Still very dead.
They stand by their reporting. Now, why is it in your timeline as news?
I don't know. It was just retweeted into my timeline with no context or anything. So I clicked on it like, oh, there it is. He's dead.
So he remains dead. He is still dead. And the BBC is still reporting that Chuck Berry is dead despite the fact that he died 2 years ago.
Just something comforting about Dan Bernstein not knowing something.
Yeah.
I love it so much. And then he immediately blames Jay Zawoski.
Yeah, it's, with all of these aging rockers, and really in the case of Chuck Berry, who died when he was, 88 or 90 years old, I mean, you get confused. You forget who's gone and who isn't, you know? Sometimes you need to be reminded. If that would have been typed on my screen yesterday or this afternoon, I might.
You would have reported it as new?
I might have. No, I think I'm pretty sure I remember Chuck Berry. I remember, seeing some Facebook posts about Chuck Berry's career, and there's debate about what type of legend he should have, whether it should be a good one or not so good because of certain habits, shall we say. He liked them young.
Yeah, yeah. No, not another legacy where separating art from artist complicates anyone who wants to listen to his music and enjoy Johnny B. Goode.
But, so that tickled your funny bone.
I thought it was just...
Chuck Berry has died.
Well, because there was also...
Wait a minute.
There was a commercial break in the middle. Like, Studs cleans that up tremendously. Like, they were like, okay, I mean...
Oh, really? They didn't correct it until they came back?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. It was the top of the hour, too. It wasn't just like... it was the top of the hour. It's a 5-minute gap, and then they come back. Oh, by the way,
they're like, okay. I mean, we'll get back to baseball with Jonah Carey next on The Score. And then they come back, and before Jonah Carey, they're like, we have a correction. Chuck Berry's been dead for 2 years.
Yeah, still gone.
Here's Jonah Carey.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was lovely.
That is terrific.
Things could happen to anybody.
Yeah, Chuck Berry had a song that didn't make it to American radio because it dingling, my dingling.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of stations didn't want to play that. I think it might have been his only
the Bo Jackson
number
song?
One hit, but most markets refused it. Yes, exactly.
Gotcha. Well, Mick Jagger apparently has had his heart surgery. He's already on Twitter saying that he feels better, and thank you to all the doctors and all that, and he's on the road to recovery.
Yeah, well, I hope the Rolling Stones will tour again. I expect nothing. If the 2015 show I saw them perform at Comerica Park in Detroit winds up being the last, I will count myself as very grateful for having seen them perform over a almost 40-year stretch. Well, now it is more than a 40-year stretch. It was 40 years ago last summer when I saw my first Stone show. So I hope he's okay, most importantly. And if you got to back off on the touring and you got to call it a career, you're human. You're in your 70s. Enjoy life. Of course, that's what he enjoys most, being Mick Jagger. Yeah, more than any of the Rolling Stones, he likes who he is.
I would imagine it'd be fairly easy to like being Mick Jagger. It seems like it's a lot of fun. And do you think it's like Bear Bryant? And once he stops coaching, he dies? Like, what do the Stones do when they're not the Rolling Stones?
Make more babies. Yeah. I mean, he fathered a child relatively recently, did he not?
I think so. He's got, what, 8 or 9 kids?
Oh, there's more than that, aren't there?
Are there?
I think so.
Oh.
8 or 9 on record.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I don't know
there,
about
there might
any...
be even more on record. I
don't know about the kids that are not on record. I don't go that deep. I only know of the on-record children of Mick Jagger. But, I mean, sure. I'm sure there are plenty of Stones disciples, but I don't know, man. I want to see him again mainly because I've already paid the money. That money's out of my checking account.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
It's very frustrating.
You can't do anything about it. I'm glad I was slow to move on it.
Well, because you were willing
especially
to pay top
dollar. Especially the stupid-ass money I'm paying was willing to pay, right?
Yeah, you're willing to pay top dollar, so you're like, I'll just get it when it comes time. I was like, I want face value good seats. I'm not getting great seats, but good seats. So I got face value, hit the checking account, and now it's TBD on the concert.
Man. I was turning our tailgate out there on Friday, June 21, the social event of the summer. That with the social event of the summer on hold.
Yeah, not good.
We need to figure out something else that could take its place as the social event. Maybe it'll be our golf outing in early August.
I hope we actually do the golf outing.
Yeah. We're knocking knees over it very soon.
I'm available. And I also hope that the Cubs give us a couple of big Cubs games over the summer.
They will.
I'm just saying,
They will. Okay. Slow down.
Okay.
It's okay. The sky isn't falling.
Well, no. The sky isn't falling. It's actually
but
sunny
But the season
out there.
Is ending.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The sky looks fine.
Well, you know, I thought, Danny, since it is a feel-good Friday to a degree, and the Cubs staff has just had all kinds of issues with walks this week. We would take a musical departure a time or two today and feature songs that have the word walk in the title. In this case, it's both the title of a song and the title of a movie. If you've not seen Walk Hard, The Legend of Dewey Cox, you're missing out on all the best life has to offer. So let's go to this film about a dozen years ago that just tickles the hell out of me. Matt Spiegel will join us in studio in just a few minutes. It's McNeil and Parkins walking hard on 670 The Score.
Walk hard, hard down life. Rocky road, walk bold, hard, that's my creed, my code.
been scorned and slandered and ridiculed too. Had to struggle every day my whole life through. Seen my share of the worst that this world can give. But I still got a dream and a burning rage to live. Walk hard, hard. When they say you're all done, walk bold, hard. Though they say you're not the one, even if you've been told time and time again.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.